Once again, I thank you very much for joining the call today, and I welcome all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. I'm sorry. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ravindra Chaitanya Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Glories of Srila Vyasadev Ghosh. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam to all the devotees on the
Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji, all glories.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic, Prabhuji. I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So first of all, my humble obeisances to everyone on this group who have been very consistently assembling every morning for participating in the morning program. Is my voice audible before I begin? Is it clear enough?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Can you please confirm me?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. So my humble obeisances to all on this group, especially given the fact that all the devotees stay at remote locations and from their homes, they connect with each other on this conference call, which now also is available on Zoom. So I feel very inspired to see this kind of sincere effort and endeavor being put by the devotees and the organizers to ensure or to make available an opportunity for chanting together, for hearing together and associating together. So it is very enthusing to me also. We have attempted something like this during the Purushottam month and now also during the Kartik month with devotees in Bombay, Pune and various other parts of India who got connected. But we saw that it was really very challenging to get everyone every day consistently, even for a short span of 30 days during the Purushottam month or now during the Kartik month. So I feel very humbled myself, and at the same time I feel very encouraged to see all the devotees participating in this group consistently. And as I know, it has been active, although the technology has changed, but this has been very actively serving the devotees for 10 plus years. So it's indeed a great initiative, and every time I get an opportunity to associate with the devotees of this group, I feel very inspired as well. So I feel very belittled because of the great endeavor that is being put by devotees. So my humble obeisances to everyone on this group once again. Mancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. So today we are requested to speak on the glories of Vasudev Ghosh or Vasudev Ghosh. Vasudev Ghosh is more appropriate. And this being the disappearance day of Vasudev Ghosh, so it was a kind of challenge also for me to figure out details about this great personality and intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because to speak about the Gaudiya Acharyas, the Acharyas in the Gaudiya Parampara, you need to, for the most prominent ones, there are a lot of details and there are a lot of resources available. But sometimes you will really need to explore and access some content, which many times in life, probably for the first time, you get that opportunity to access. So here I'll be making a small presentation or maybe a talk on Vasudev Ghosh. So before we begin, I will just offer my obeisances and prayers. Mangalacharan. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन्वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमाहं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनितिनामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपीशगोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंदा जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंदा जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंदा जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा। सो टुडे वी आर celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Vasudeva Ghosh. In India, actually, we are celebrating Govardhan Puja today, and we had a very wonderful festival in the Sri Sri Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, where I've come to meet my parents who stay in Vrindavan. So we had a very grand celebration of Govardhan Puja, and it was a very amazing festival. We heard Katha by Deen Bandhu Prabhu and a gathering of devotees and lot of Kirtan and Mahaprasad and everything. So while we were celebrating Govardhan Puja, probably you all celebrated it yesterday. And today, in American time zone, we are celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Vasudev Ghosh. Now, when this Chaitanya Leela comes into picture, many a times there is a lot of confusion about the different personalities. First of all, the reason being is that we got, or many of us may have got introduced to the different personalities of Chaitanya Leela only a few months or a few years ago. Unlike Krishna Leela and Ram Leela, where we get, especially Indians, who get acquainted with these personalities and the people accompanying them much earlier, maybe even during childhood. So since the Chaitanya Leela personalities are introduced much later, and so many of them. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita mainly being a postgraduate study, it indeed is because of the high display of ecstatic emotions by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially during his last 12 years of state, Gambhira can actually bewilder anyone. In my early days in Krishna consciousness, once it so happened that I got to read a brief summary of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was called as Chaitanya Charitamrita condensed version, and we had this book, so I got an opportunity to read that. And honestly speaking, on this day I was bewildered. I was not able to see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because all that I read in the book was just prasadam pastime and kirtan pastime. Of course, in between there were some divine pastimes, miracle pastimes, which we generally want to access or want to read when it comes to divinity. But here I was just reading maximum pastimes related to prasadam and meeting devotees and reciprocating with them. And then there would be prasadam and then kirtans, and then things were going on like that. So honestly, I was a little confused, although theoretically we had heard and known that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same self-same or Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna, who appeared with the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the two-in-one personality by default is a little difficult to understand, because the very concept, there are some things two-in-one about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like he's Krishna with the mood of Radharani. So now, what is this? Either you be Krishna or you be Radharani. But then this is two-in-one. And then you talk about the philosophy also. It is achintya bheda bheda tattva. It is one and different, two-in-one again. So there are many such things like that, and kind of confuses also at times. So when you talk of Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he also has a two-in-one life, two-in-one personality. His the first 24 years and the later 24 years. And total material bhautik jagat leela is like 48 years. And of that, the first 24 years are very, very different from the next 24 years. A very, you can say, contrast to the these two pastimes have. The first 24 years, in that we see a child who is very, very, you know, who is very notorious, who is mischievous, who likes to play, who likes to, you know, do mischief with the boys, with the girls. And I mean, he's the heartthrob of Navadvip. So he's a different personality, very jolly, very mischievous. And in another phase of his, the first 24 years, we see him as a very proud Sanskrit scholar also, who's very learned, who knows everything in and out. He can contrast his own arguments. He can defeat people. He can, he is like impossible. So on one side, we see this kind of personality. And on the other side, after taking sannyas, after taking the renounced order of life, we see an absolute different U-turn in his personality. Someone now who is very grave. We don't generally hear any mischiefs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi. Not even transcendental humor, so to say. And in fact, we see him as a very, very grave personality who is very difficult at times to for the devotees. And sometimes for the devotees, it becomes very intolerable to see his commitments to his sannyas ashram. So on one side, we see another personality. On the other side, we see an absolutely different personality. And of those 24 years, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sannyas, the post-renunciation, the post-sannyas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see him as a very grave, very serious, and someone who is very absorbed in tasting something internally. He becomes more internalized. You can say, we have very limited in knowledge or understanding of Chaitanya Tattva, But in one sense, the earlier personality is like a very extrovert boy, and then the second side of his life, post sannyas, becomes an introvertish, shy personality who is all by himself. And he generally doesn't mingle or generally doesn't associate with any general population. Of course, he's accessible. It's not that he's not accessible, but he shares his heart with his known people. So you see in him a very different personality, correct? So, therefore, sometimes this understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personality can be very confusing. And why I said the last 12 years, especially, because in those last 12 years of his, of his bhautik leela, of the material pastimes, he is experiencing something which we have not even heard of. That he's experiencing. And the experience itself is so difficult. I mean, the description of the experience itself is so difficult. What would be the experience like? So we see, we hear of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes undergoing bodily transformations because of that experience of ecstasy. So it is beyond our range of beyond our human range of understanding, of course, so to say. So, therefore, the Chaitanya Leela is a postgraduate book or subject for the one who has got some steadiness in devotional service, some understanding, some experience, realization for them to dwell into. It's not that the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam don't have this. It is not like that, but they address a broader audience, and such emotions or internal feelings are purposefully kept hidden in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Shukdev Goswami purposefully in the Srimad Bhagavatam did not enter into the subject of discussing so much about Radharani. As we know, he kind of, held himself so that he does not drive himself into another subject of the divine mellows of devotional service. So why, with that background, we would like to enter into this personality's disappearance day today, Vasudev Ghosh. So we'd like to enter into some of his leela through whatever references I could collect. So there are four Vasudevs which I could find out in the Chaitanya Leela. And many times when the word Vasudev comes, we tend to confuse which Vasudev is this now. So we hear of one Vasudev Ghosh, of course, today we are celebrating the disappearance day. We also hear of Vasudev Datta. In fact, the most popular Vasudev is Vasudev Datta. And then we hear of the Vasudev leper, the one who had leprosy and he was cured by Mahaprabhu's embrace. That's another third personality whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met during South India Yatra in Kurumkshetra. So that is Vasudev leper, also known as Vasudev Vipra, same. Vasudev leper, Vasudev Vipra, because he was a Brahman. He was a Brahmin and he had the fortune to meet Vasudev, had the fortune to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kurumkshetra during the South India. That's the third one. So probably we have heard in bits and pieces of these three Vasudevs. But the fourth one, probably we haven't heard so much. We might not guess. So the fourth one is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, whose original name is Vasudev Bhattacharya. But having accomplished the task of defeating many, many pandits, he became like a Sarvabhaum. Sarvabhaum means a king, a monarch. So very high prestigious title, Sarvabhaum. And I would not say that there are only these four Vasudevs. There are a few more, but they are in bits and pieces, occasional mentions here and there. So they appear in some or the other reference, but majorly we encounter these personalities. And most common of all, whenever by and large the Vasudev word comes, it refers to Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta is the one who was Mahaprabhu's childhood friend, as well as he was always associated with Mahaprabhu even post sannyas. He is the one who is the younger brother of, elder brother of Mukunda Dutt, another Mahaprabhu's childhood friend. And he is the one who famously said the statement that let the whole world be delivered and let all the sins of all the people come upon me and let me go to hell for eternity. And in that particular pastime, I remember Srila Prabhupada giving a purport, a comparison of Vasudev Dutt with Jesus Christ. And Srila Prabhupada says in one of those purport, I'm talking about Vasudev Dutt, not about Vasudev Ghosh. We will talk about Vasudev Ghosh in a short while. And in that purport, Prabhupada ji says that having requested Mahaprabhu to kindly give all these sinful actions of all the people of this world to Vasudev Dutt, Vasudev Dutt has actually excelled Jesus Christ. Prabhupada has compared, and he says, because this personality has taken away the sins of every individual in the whole world or in the whole universe. And therefore, he is like Prahlad Maharaj, who manifested the same mood, and that is Vasudev Dutt. And the relation between Vasudev Dutt and Mahaprabhu is very, very conducive relationship, very, very intimate relationship. On one hand, that is about Vasudev Dutt. Now, today we are talking about the disappearance day of Srila Vasudev Ghosh. So I'll have to read a little bit from some places. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are going to refer from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just give me a second, please. Okay. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 10th chapter, Shloka, or you can say Payar 115. That is where we actually get introduced to these three brothers, the Ghosh brothers. There are so many personalities who carry the same title, like the title Puri is also held by so many of them. Madhvendra Puri is one of them, and Madhvendra Puri's disciple Ishwar Puri, and Ramchandra Puri, and a few more. Like that, the title Ghosh famously belongs to these three personalities, the three brothers, Govind, Madhav, and Vasudev Ghosh. So these three were the 82nd, 83rd, and 84th branches of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. I'll explain it what it is. It is the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most confidential associates. Just like a tree, this tree has many branches. So many branches, sub-branches. So this family of Govind Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, and Vasudev Ghosh, they are entitled, they are known as the 82nd, 83rd, and 84th branch of the Chaitanya tree. So when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela and the 10th chapter specifically, or the 9th and the 10th chapter, you specifically the 10th chapter, however, you come to know about the Chaitanya tree. So there is a verse which says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's branches, sub-branches, and further sub-branches all put together constitutes lakhs and thousands and thousands and lakhs of devotees and confidential associates. So one may wonder that with all the unique names given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it may not count more than a few hundred. So how is the claim lakhs and lakhs to be understood? So because a tree has many branches, sub-branches, and many times these sub-branches have further sub-branches and finally they have leaves. And there are so many leaves that they cannot be counted. So a single tree many times could have lakhs of leaves also. So in the same fashion, Chaitanya tree has many, many branches. There are 90 branches. In the Adi Leela, we read about 90 different branches. Now, of course, when we say about 90 and then we rank that this is the first branch, Srivas Pandit is the first branch, for example, then there is a second branch and third branch, and like that, there is an 80th branch and 90th branch. So, does this titling or numbering hold any specific significance? Not so much as far as I could understand or as I could read. It is just a numbering sequence which is given. So as far as I understood, it doesn't in any way indicate that the 82nd branch is lesser in ranking to the Hare Krishna. Is lesser positioned than the 81 other, or the 81 others are more superior. So these are the 82nd, 83rd and the 84th branch of the Chaitanya tree. And then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami further elaborates that each of them had hundreds and thousands of other followers and sub branches. And with that mathematics, we can definitely understand that there would be a possibility of lakhs of followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like that. So there are some associates who are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. There are some who are Nityanand Mahaprabhu's associates or Nityanand Prabhu's associates. So Vasudev Ghosh is actually an associate of both of them. He is an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Nityanand Prabhu. So when we categorize them, then these three brothers actually fall into both categories. They are also belonging to Nityanand associates. They can also be called as that. Okay. I'll read the purport and then we will take a little bit further. So Prabhupada, in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, 10th chapter, 115 verse, he says that the three brothers, Govind, Madhav and Vasudev Ghosh, all belonged to a Kayastha family. That is there on the screen. Thank you. They belonged to a Kayastha family. Govind established the Gopinath temple in Agradweep. Some geography is very helpful over here to understand what's where. So Agradweep is near to Katwa. If any time you have been to Navadweep, Mayapur Dham, which surely you might have been, then 50 kilometers north is Katwa, the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his sannyas initiation. Okay, now that is another center of activity. Many things have happened near Katwa. But consider Agradweep to be somewhere near Katwa, of course, on the eastern side. So Agradweep is a place which is being spoken about, because we'll talk about two or three places in today's discussion. So it'll be good to understand the geography where it is. In fact, if you go to Google Maps, then you will find where is Agradweep. And you will see that there are a few places related to the Chaitanya Gaudiya lineage in Agradweep as well. So there is a famous temple of Gopinath. This was established by Govind Ghosh, the three brothers. Govind Ghosh stayed at Agradweep and established this particular temple of Gopinath, where he resided. Originally, all the three brothers stayed together in a village near Kathua, which is not Agradweep, in another village. We'll come to the name of that village. But later on, as the turn of life happened, or you can say towards the end of their lives, then they all stayed in three different locations. And Govind Ghosh stayed in Agradweep. So he established a Gopinath temple over there. And Madhav Ghosh was expert in performing kirtan. No one within this world could compete with him. Madhav Ghosh was expert in performing kirtan, and no one within the world could compete with him. So that was the stamina, or that was the tall standing kirtan performance of these personalities. And then he was known as the singer of Vrindavan and was very dear to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Okay, Madhav was very dear to Sri Nityananda. He was a singer of Vrindavan. He could perform kirtan like the best kirtaniya. It is said that when the three brothers, now that applies to Govind Ghosh as well, although the name specifically is not mentioned, but it applies to Govind Ghosh as well, as is as can be further seen in different other verses and references, which we'll see. Then it says that it is said that when the three brothers performed Sankirtan, immediately Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda would dance in ecstasy. So their Sankirtan was very, very heart-melting and was very, very ecstatic. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda would dance in ecstasy. According to the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, a book which specifically talks about the personalities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates on those parampara, those pastimes, the three brothers were formerly the three sakhis, or you can say intimate friends of Sri Vishakha Gopi. So of the Ashta Sakhis, in Mayapur temple, you can see Radha Madhav. And then on one side you see Lalita Sakhi, and on the other side you see Vishakha Sakhi. So Vishakha Sakhi is assisted by a few gopis. And of those, there are three who are very intimate to Vishakha Sakhi. And those three are Kalavati, then Rasollas and Gunatunga. These are the names of those three gopis who are very dear to Vishakha Sakhi, who is very, very dear to Radha Madhav. So of this, Vasudev Ghosh is known as Gunatunga Sakhi. The three brothers were among one of these seven parties that performed kirtan when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attended the Rath Yatra festival at Jagannath Puri. So, in the famous Rath Yatra festival, which was held at Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu would arrange the kirtan parties in such a way that the chariot of Jagannath was covered by different kirtan parties, and there were seven of them. So some parties would be in the front side, some on either sides, and some kirtan party would be at the back side. So of those, one of the kirtan party had these three brothers as the chief singers. So when Mahaprabhu compiled or when Mahaprabhu made a kirtan party, he ensured that there are good kirtan singers and there are good follow-up singers also who would give the chorus and who would sing in accompaniment. Then he would ensure that there are good mridanga players, very powerful, very skilled mridanga players, and he would also nominate the kartal players. And he would nominate the chief dancer. Everyone can dance, but there would be some chief dancer. Okay. So in that particular kirtan party, Vakreshwar Pandit was the chief dancer. Another great personality, Vakreshwar Pandit, who is known to have a record of dancing on kirtan, on Hare Krishna kirtan for 72 hours. So on one side we have stalwart singers like Govind Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, who are very dear, who are very, very talented, who have expertise in singing, and not only expertise, they sing with devotion, and their singing melts the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda when they dance in ecstasy. On one side we have that kind of singers, and on the other side we have a dancer like Vakreshwar Pandit. So when we generally do kirtan, and we understand that when there is a beautiful combination of good singer, good mridanga player, good kartal player, and good follow-up singers and good dancers, then the kirtan performance comes to a exhilaration. It goes to an unimaginable height. Everyone gets so much absorbed in that kirtan because of the wonderful arrangement of devotees who are performing that kirtan. So this is all described vividly in Madhya Leela, chapter 13, verses 42 and 43. So that's a brief introduction to Vasudev Ghosh. Matri, please let me know the time till when I'm, because I have a lot of things to speak about. So please put me on the chat message. Vasudev, another verse I'm taking from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, 11.19. So this is a beautiful verse which talks about this heart-melting performance. Vasudeva Gite Kare Prabhura Varnane Kashta Pashan Drave Yahara Shravane. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 11.19, of course this doesn't have a purport, but the mention is there. When Vasudev Ghosh described Lord Chaitanya Nityanand while performing kirtan, even wood and stone would melt upon hearing it. It says when Vasudev Ghosh described Lord Chaitanya. Described means he was a great composer as well. He was not only a singer, he was a very, very skilled, very articulate composer. He could compose poetry. In our Vaishnav songs, we hear of two very famous songs. Right? One is Jaya Jaya Jagannath Sachira Nandan Tribhuvane Karejar Brahman Tribhuvane Karejar Charana Vandan. So that is one song we have heard. And there is another song, beautiful song, Yadi Gaur Na Hoito Tabe Ki Hoito, came on Dharitam Day. These are two popular songs which are there in our syllabus. But there are many other compositions of Vasudev Ghosh which are not there, but which Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purports that these all are very, very authorized and very, very bona fide songs. Like here in the shloka, if you can please put that on the screen, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 11.88. Madhya Leela 11.88. Govinda Madhava Ghosh Ei Vasu Ghosh Teen Bhaira Kirtane Prabhu Payena Santosh. I think it's going to come on the screen. So please wait. Yes, thank you so much for a very prompt. Govinda Madhava Ghosh Ei Vasu Ghosh Teen Bhaira Kirtane Prabhu Payena Santosh. Here also are Govind Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh. Now this is about when they are being introduced to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially because they've come for the Rath Yatra pastime. They've come for the Rath Yatra participation. So an introduction is being offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who all have come. And here are also Govind Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh. They are three brothers, and their Sankirtan, congregational chanting, pleases the Lord very much. Purport. Govind Ghosh belonged to the Kayastha dynasty of the Uttara Radhiya section, and he was known as Ghosh Thakur. Even to the present day, there is a place named Agradweep near Katwa, which we have heard about, we have discussed it where a fair takes place and is named after Ghosh Thakur. It is quite amazing to read about these subtle details which Srila Prabhupada brings out or highlights in the purport. Now, this fair takes place in Agradweep, which is near Katwa. Srila Prabhupada belonged to, more so his childhood was spent in Kolkata. We don't read of Srila Prabhupada much going to Navdeep, etc. But he is so updated with these subtle details. Sometimes even when you are reading this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu South India Yatra, Srila Prabhupada actually tells us very, very particular details that this place is in this particular district and it is there under the Bombay Gazette, such and such. You can find these kind of wordings in more than few purports. So Prabhupada has done, it seems, quite a good amount of research while writing these purports. So, as far as Vrindavan, as far as Vasudev Ghosh is concerned, he composed many nice songs about Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada says he composed many nice songs. And these are all authorized Vaishnava songs, like the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, Govind Das Thakur, and other great Vaishnavas. And as actually time is, the Hare Krishna movement is expanding, we are able to access these literatures, because earlier these songs and literature was in Bengali language. Now there are so many devotees who are learning Bengali and who are endeavoring to find out these literatures. In fact, there is a whole Bhaktivedanta research library project that has been undertaken by Mayapur, which is exploring the scriptures of Vaishnavas and Acharyas. So they are bringing all this very easily accessible to all the devotees. Okay, so that is all from the Vedabase that I wanted to highlight. Thank you so much for that. Now, we were talking about Vasudev Ghosh. I will talk a little bit more about his life now. That these are the accolades of his kirtan performances and his devotion. So far we understood that he was a very great composer. The three brothers were very, very good singers, stalwart kirtan leaders. They were very much loved by Nityanand Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dance in ecstasy. And they were good composers also, and they composed many, many songs. And they were leading one of those Rath Yatra kirtan parties also. It's not an easy task to actually lead a sankirtan party. Because the Rath Yatra would go on for hours, and being the chief singers, it would be their responsibility to ensure wonderful kirtan going on in that particular kirtan party. Why? Why we can say that? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in all those seven kirtan parties simultaneously. So it would not be in any ordinary level of kirtan performance. It would be something definitely on a very high transcendental platform, which would actually pull Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to participate and dance in their Sankirtan party. So singing the holy name for hours. So that was the kind of feat which they could achieve, or it was the kind of spiritual mellows that they were relishing. Okay, so that is about some brief introduction. There are more things. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about how Vasudev Ghosh, or when, on which occasions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu interacted with Vasudev Ghosh. So, as a kirtan singer, of course, Mahaprabhu used to hear from Vasudev Ghosh. But it so happened that since Mahaprabhu located himself in Odisha, Jagannath Puri, so the devotees of Bengal also, like iron filings are pulled towards a magnet, they also started visiting Bengal, gradually settling near, visiting Odisha, gradually settling near Odisha, and being in and around, like bees surround honey. So it was very difficult for Mahaprabhu to bring his mission to the next level. What was his main mission? One was to definitely himself taste the glories of ecstatic devotional service, teach the people in and around, and as well as to preach to the common masses. So now that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had done by undertaking a South India Yatra. He did that. But now he wanted that to happen in a systematic way. You see, actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we may feel or we may frame Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a relisher of ecstatic mood. Generally, you can call them in our ISKCON language as Bhajanandi. Okay. And then, generally, we have seen that Bhajanandis are very different from Goshtanandis. Goshtanandis are those who have more of missionary or preaching related enthusiasm. So they are more outgoing, and the Bhajanandis are more inward going. So there is a contrast. But we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a combination of both. He was himself a Bhajanandi. His disciples were also Bhajanandi. But coming together, the association was Goshtanandi. In the association, Mahaprabhu would send people out. He was not one who would keep people surrounded himself, increase his retinue or the surrounding, and you know, the, as we can say, increase the halo around. No. In fact, he sent out his best people, the six Goswamis, and many such stalwart preachers like Vasudev Ghosh, Govind Ghosh, who desired to stay in Jagannath Puri in Odisha with Mahaprabhu. Actually, they left everything and they came to stay with Mahaprabhu in Odisha, Jagannath Puri, but Mahaprabhu would not let them stay there. In fact, what to speak about anybody else, but Mahaprabhu didn't allow even Nityanand Prabhu to stay in Odisha. He wanted even Nityanand Prabhu to go out and preach in Bengal. So for that reason, Nityanand Prabhu in one sense was banned to come to Jagannath Puri, Odisha. Mahaprabhu didn't allow him, didn't appreciate it. He would come. That's a transcendental exchange between both of them. But nonetheless, Mahaprabhu desired that Nityanand Prabhu stays permanently in Bengal and overlooks the preaching activity. So, sometimes it is very difficult to imagine this kind of situation when a person has in the material world, I'm talking about in the material world, when a person achieves this kind of stardom, then they don't want to lose that because it is so achieved with so difficulty and not easily achievable by everyone, even with a lot of difficulty also. So generally people want to create that transcendental effect and maintain it as long as they can. But that happens in the material world. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually sent out all his best people and he inspired them to preach, to write books, to distribute books. So, in that sense, it's very missionary. So, when these three brothers, they wanted to stay with Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, you must retire, you must go to other places and you must preach. So Vasudev Ghosh actually ended up staying in Odisha. He didn't go out of Odisha. Whereas originally he had taken birth in Bengal near Katwa, which is 50 kilometers north of Mayapur. Now he is stationed in Odisha. And the exact place where he was put up is Medinipur. In today's day and age, Medinipur is near Kolkata and therefore it falls in Bengal. But in those days, it would fall in Odisha or Odisha as we say now in India. So Medinipur would be a part of Odisha that in those days. And there is a specific place where Vasudev Ghosh ended up staying for the rest of his life. That place is very significant I will talk a little bit about that place also and what all things are there in that place. Okay. So that place is known as Tamluk. Tamluk. The topic is about Vasudev Ghosh. So I have to speak about everything related to him. So Tamluk is a place. Again, if you go to Google Maps, then you will find Tamluk. And if you actually search Vasudev Ghosh in Google Maps, you'll find a specific spot in the region of Tamluk. So this Tamluk is, suppose you are traveling southwards from Mayapur to from Kolkata to Jagannath Puri, okay, then somewhere in the between towards west, so it's somewhere in the between on the western side, there's this place called as Tamluk. Okay, so now here Vasudev Ghosh stayed for his rest of his life, and actually he left his body also in Tamluk, and his samadhi is also in Tamluk. That is the place where he finally left his body. So there are a couple of things related with that. I'm reading from a particular source. So it so happened that Vasudev Ghosh was so much connected with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart, that when he heard of the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from this material world, when he came to know about it, he just couldn't simply tolerate it. It was absolutely unbelievable for him. He just felt that there is absolutely no meaning to life if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left this world. So we are talking of a very high degree of commitment and high degree of devotion. Huh? Just try to figure it out. Just try to understand that when he heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure from the material world, he felt his own life useless and worthy of giving up. So what did he do? He and his wife, both, they actually dug a, they actually made a big pit in the ground, excavated the land. They created a big pit because they wanted to commit suicide. They wanted to enter into the pit. And they blindfolded themselves, especially Vasudev Ghosh blindfolded himself. And he and his wife, they entered into the pit crying the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanting to be reunited with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the eternal world. They instructed the people who were witnessing all this leela happening. They instructed the people of the village that you must put all the mud and dirt into the pit now, and it must be full so that we can die. I'm giving a class. So that we can leave our bodies and we need not suffer the separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was the level of separation that they were experiencing. And having been bound by the vows which they conferred upon the villagers were bound to now fulfill that. And so they started pouring the dirt in that pit. And when they started pouring, or when it reached a certain level, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there in that very place where the pit is there. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Vasudev Ghosh and his wife. And by some divine mystic arrangement, the blindfolded, the veil was removed. And everyone could see the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had actually departed from the material world, in front of their own eyes. And Mahaprabhu said to Vasudev Ghosh something very instructive. He said, how can you even imagine of committing this abominable act? Your body is not your property. It belongs to me. This kind of statement Mahaprabhu has spoken to only few personalities, like Sanatan Goswami has spoken. And Sanatan Goswami was planning to throw his body below the wheel of Jagannath's chariot during a Rath Yatra procession. Because his body was so much oozing with pus and had so much of infection all around, and Mahaprabhu would regularly embrace him, and that was not desirable by Sanatan Goswami. He didn't want this to happen again and again. Mahaprabhu wouldn't relent, and Sanatan Goswami couldn't escape. And so he thought better to end this whole matter by jumping in front of the chariot. It takes a lot of courage actually to even theoretically think something like this. So Vasudev Ghosh was all there inside the pit, blindfolded, ready to, you know, samadhi. But Mahaprabhu appeared on the scene and he said that your body belongs to me. Use it for preaching, spreading the holy name around. Write songs in glorification. And that's what he did throughout his life, Vasudev Ghosh. So one can understand the tall position of this personality. And therefore that place in Tamluk is more popularly known as Narpota. So Nar means man and Pota means pit or a hole which has been dug up. So the pit which was dug up by Vasudev Ghosh to commit suicide is called as Narpota. So that place is very famous by this name even till this day. Most of the people actually recognize that area by the name Narpota. And again, it is available on Google Maps. For those of you who would like to see, please do see that, because you will see the photos of Vasudev Ghosh's Samadhi, which is under a Bakul tree. And that Bakul tree stands witness to this whole episode. So you see a beautiful deity of Vasudev Ghosh, his deity, his statue carving of Vasudev Ghosh, which is residing there. And currently the place is being taken care by the devotees of Shamanand Sampradaya, Shamanand Pandit followers. They are taking very nice care of that place. And one can have darshan of Vasudev Ghosh's Samadhi, because today is the disappearance day. We need to, if that opportunity is there, we should take darshan of that place, the Samadhi of Vasudev Ghosh. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this Tamluk place two times. So again, please remind me when I'm supposed to stop. Give me just 5 minutes before I'm supposed to stop. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this place, Tamluk, twice. Once when he took sannyas, and there's a very, very mixed emotion pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas. It has lot of emotions which are interchanging. And when Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24, so he had left from Navdeep, he had gone to Katwa, taken sannyas, shaved his head. And after that incident, he returned via Navdeep. He crossed Navdeep, or he came across that same path and stayed in Shantipur. Shantipur was the place of Advaita Acharya, which is 1 hour south way from Mayapur, so towards Kolkata, right? So he stayed there for 14 days. And now he was a fresh sannyasi. So these were his first 14 days of sannyas life. And Advaita Acharya had actually informed Shachi Mata. Shachi Mata had come at that place in Shantipur. That was where she first time saw Nimai Pandit as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Tridandi Sannyasi. And after that darshan happened, and motherly affection was arising in her heart, and therefore she also cooked for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was very elaborate cooking arrangements being made in Shantipur, because Mahaprabhu had come, so many associates and so many thousands and lakhs of people had come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a huge scale cooking arrangement was made over there in Shantipur. And after Shantipur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled southwards to go to Jagannath Puri, because Mother Shachi had told him that, dear son, please do not stay too far. Let you stay, please stay somewhere close so that I can regularly hear about your whereabouts. I can get your health updates and I can know how you're doing and etc. etc. Motherly affection. So Mahaprabhu then on that instruction stayed at Jagannath Puri. So while going to Jagannath Puri, after having crossed Shantipur, one of the places that he stayed was Tamluk. This place where Vasudev Ghosh was Vasudev Ghosh stayed. So this place, Mahaprabhu stayed, and in Tamluk, something significant happened when Mahaprabhu stayed for the first time. What happened is that there were some or the other arrangements for prasadam till they reached Tamluk. In Shantipur, they had grand cooking, and the distance in between Shantipur and Tamluk, they had some or the other arrangements, some devotees in and around. But when they reached Tamluk, they had no one. They had no prasadam arrangements. So this was the first time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went out to beg for vegetables. In Tamluk, Mahaprabhu went to beg for vegetables for the first time. He went home to home and he collected vegetables, rice, whatever he could get. And everything was given to Jagadanand Pandit, who is none other than Satya Bhama Devi. And Jagdanand Pandit did a fantastic cooking. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his meals in Tamluk. He stayed overnight and performed Harinam Sankirtan in the night, the nocturnal Sankirtan. And many, many people came to meet Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu distributed the holy name. So this is recorded, and this is what we heard, what we hear. And not only that, this was the first time. And the second time was when Mahaprabhu had gone to South India. And after having toured the whole South India, when now he was about to again return to Jagannath Puri, he thought of crossing through Tamluk. So he again came to that place and he stayed for some time, did Harinam Sankirtan, and then took the same route which he had taken in the first time when he was going as a fresh sannyasi. So from Tamluk, then he had gone southwards towards Jagannath Puri, the same route he had taken. So that is another significance of this place where Vasudev Ghosh resided later on, and then resided till the end of his life. So we come to know about that. And there are few more things about Tamluk or this place. Vasudev Ghosh's place. Just finding out something. Yeah, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ordered everyone to go to different places to preach and to stay there. For the devotees, actually, it was so difficult to stay in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was practically, I am using hotspot. It was not possible for them to live in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, Vasudev Ghosh stayed there in Odisha. And Gaudiya Vaishnava poet, he composed many, many songs with the wood and the stones. And there's some more things you can see. One last pastime I'll say about this Vasudev Ghosh. So in the earlier days, when Vasudev Ghosh, Govind Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh would stay together, during the Mahaprabhu's pre-sannyas period. And if you've been to Katwa, or if you've been to a place near Katwa, there is a town, small town called as Shrikhanda, which is famous for Narhari Sarkar's residence. Narhari Sarkar, we hear in the Gaur Arthi, right? Naro Hari Adi Kari Chamara Dulai. So Narhari Sarkar hailed from that Shrikhanda. Even the pastime of Raghunath, the child who would feed Gopinath Laddu, also happened over there. So these three brothers would constantly associate with Narhari Sarkar and the devotees of that area, Shrikhanda. And it was during their presence that Narhari Sarkar carved three Gauranga deities from one neem tree. And that neem tree had, it was a big, huge neem tree. So they carved three Gauranga deities. One deity stays at Katwa. Another deity stays at Eka Chakra. And there's one more deity which stays somewhere. I'm just missing the name. So there are these places. Also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 3.5 close intimate associates. Three and a half. That half is actually of, that half actually counts for Shiki Mahiti's sister Madhavi Devi. Because of her being a woman, she's counted as a half in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates. So her samadhi is also there in the same place called as Tamluk or Narpota. In that same place is the samadhi of Madhavi Devi also. So we can pray to Vasudev Ghosh on this disappearance day, very auspicious day, for giving us the right mood and the right bhav in which we can perform devotional service. I was very inspired by his particular quality of singing with deep devotion, which would melt the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu. So we have to actually always, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and others like these, we are shown the mirror and we can do self-assessment, personal service. We can spend years and years just routinely doing this, passing from a huge through a huge wire, but because the wire is so well conducted by a rubber coating or a plastic coating, that it does not allow the current to flow out. Like that, sometimes we can be routinely performing, not coming in contact with the current at all because of us being outside that conducting. So it is a very important thing for all of us to think regularly, internalize ourselves the spirit of devotion which has been displayed by these personalities, how much we stand in order. So they were the ones who served in separation. Sometimes for us, any service which puts us at separation can become a very difficult task. Sometimes we may challenge our authorities also. These all like experiences are specially there when we are serving in the association of devotees, when two or three or four people come together and serve. So here we see that Vasudev Ghosh served Mahaprabhu in a way that pleased Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would be most pleased by his going outside and preaching. And that is what he did through his songs. In fact, he wrote a poetry on Mahaprabhu accepting sannyas. And I have that poetry. It's in Bengali. If you wish, I can read it or maybe read the translation also. So he wrote a very, very heart-touching poetry about Mahaprabhu's accepting sannyas also. So a very accomplished poet, very accomplished writer. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we could figure out these details. And this is what we could present today. So I feel very fortunate to have got this opportunity to speak. on the disappearance day of Vasudev Ghosh. I may have committed some mistakes in presenting this personality. Sometimes these personalities are so exalted that our speech may not be fitting to their caliber. So we beg forgiveness on the lotus feet of Vasudev Ghosh. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I don't think there would be any questions on this topic. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is that all?
Thank you so much for your very nectarian class on this auspicious day. I request all the devotees, if they have any realizations about this topic, you can please go ahead.
I was just browsing through the pages which I had seen. So one thing which I forgot to say is that this place, Tamluk, is not having its significance only in this Kali Yuga. It is also having significance in Dwapar Yuga. In Dwapar Yuga, this city was known as Tamralipta. Tamra means copper. We know that. Tamra means copper. So Tamralipta was the name of the city in Dwapar Yuga. And this was the place where the Pandavas had also visited. And in fact, Yudhishthir Maharaj had made a Shivling, a temple and a Shivling. And Arjun had also come here in Dwapar Yuga when he was collecting, when he was traveling in different directions or facilitating Yudhishthir Maharaj's Rajasuya Yajna. So he had come to this place as well. So, and the ruler of Tamluk or Tamralipta at that time had aligned with the Pandavas. So it has a significance of Dwapar Yuga as well. So just wanted to add that thing which I had forgotten. Thank you. Thank you for your comments and encouragements. Anybody wants to share any realizations, as Mataji said, you all may please do so. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and very heavy, heavy, like a topic for me, you know. I have to hear the class, I don't know how many times. It's so difficult, you know. And these personalities are very important for us. We need to, you know, learn about them. Thank you so much for your efforts collecting all the notes and everything. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Ending here.
Yeah, if devotees have no other questions or realizations, we can end the call here, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class to us. And we are very grateful to you, Prabhuji. And we look forward for your association, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisances to the Prabhuji. Vancha kalpata rupyasya krupa sindhu sriyavichya patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo granted Srimad Bhagavatam Ji. Bhagavatam ki jai, glories of Srila Vyasadev Ghosh ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Ravindra Chaitanya Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.